Warning, the episode you are about to listen to is for entertainment purposes only. If you are easily offended and do not have a bit of a dark, quirky sense of humor, this podcast may not be for you. All opinions expressed are just for fun. Get ready for some effing and jeffing with Kate and Mark in Back to Bond. Enjoy.
Hey, Bondies.
We are begging for cash, so if you think what we do is all right...
And you want to make a little donation...
Please go to buymeacoffee.com/backtobondpodcast.
Minimum donation is $5, which is around £3.95.
Thanks, Bondies.
I've been expecting you, Mr. Bond.
And welcome to Back to Bond podcast with me, Mark Gibson, and...
me, Kate Nassel.
Yay! And we're reviewing...
A View to a Kill.
A No Thrill Kill.
I thought we were going to sing like, dance into the fire.
That was nearly banned in America because they said it was a devil worshipping song.
Oh.
About dancing to the fire.
Freaks.
I know, it was ridiculous. What did we think of the theme tune?
I like the theme tune.
I like the theme tune a lot.
Yeah, very good theme tune. Yeah, obviously the slip in the line, View to a Kill.
Yeah, like... Simon Le Bon Bon got going on. I think it's a great song. Movie's questionable.
The film is an okay film for a regular film. Yeah. Like, if it wasn't a James Bond film, this would be a fine, low-budget 80s action film.
Like a Steven Seagal.
Yes!
Yes. It would be a Steven Seagal, wouldn't it?
It would.
And we would enjoy it. Or a Chuck Norris.
A Chuck Norris.
Sit and watch the Chuck Norris. But I think it's because we're probably expecting a bit more of more.
Expecting more for more.
A bit more for more.
MGM synopsis then for A View to a Kill 1985. Roger Moore lends humour, elegance and lethal charm to his final performance as James Bond in this white-knuckle espionage thriller. Bond confronts Max Zorin, a power-mad industrialist who has devised a plan to corner the world's microchip market, even if he has to kill millions to do it. But before Bond can stop the madman, he must confront Zorin's beautiful and deadly companion, Mayday.
Yes.
I mean, I don't feel like this is the synopsis for the right film. there's no elegance.
Yeah.
I can't even remember there being any lethal charm or any charm. Sprinkling of charm.
No, I think that, oh my God, I've lost my charm. It was the applies to... It's a weird movie because we liked Christopher Walken in it. He was a great villain.
Oh,
in a very
so good.
I know he was really, really good. He was very psychotic in it and he had Aryan youth thing with the blonde hair and all
that. Oh, Nazis are mentioned. I loved Christopher Walken in it.
Yeah, so did I. I thought it was really good.
Grace Jones, nearly said Grace Kelly for no reason.
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones was really good.
Really, really, really good. There's a bit at the end where Acton chops her on the ball, isn't there? You know,
yeah.
She does have a kind of arc to her story.
She does have an arc.
You know.
But two wasted villains.
Two wasted villains and a...
Or two great villains. That could have been used for a Chuck Norris film. World Affairs. Vodafone Mobile Network is launched, which was the first mobile network in the UK.
Right. Is them the like brick phone?
No, I think this is just the network.
Just the network.
The network infrastructure was established. But I thought it was BT Cellnet for some reason, which then got changed in 2002, but then that's like the 90s, but I had a BT Cellnet phone.
BT Cellnet, hi.
The House of Lords, so we're talking House of Lords, got the House of Commons, whose were elected MPs, and then we've got the House of Lords, which is the upper chamber.
All right.
And they are, like, nominated. Anyway, so they have a televised debate for the first time in 1985, which, I mean, now we've got the channel BBC Parliament, where you can watch that shit all day.
Yeah, you could, couldn't you?
Oh, and everyone's favourite, certainly mine.
Ding, 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 ding. EastEnders debut.
Yeah. Did you watch the first episode?
I did watch the first episode. Everybody was really struck by the fact that it was more realistic than Coronation Street.
Yeah.
And a lot more darker in the storyline. Even first when the old guy got killed, didn't it?
Yeah. I didn't watch the entire first episode, but I watched most of it.
Mm.
And it's them kicking down a door to be like, oh, he's dead.
He was a dead man in his house. Because it was always...
quite an opening to a TV series, never mind an episode. Yeah.
And then, was it the Den and Angie thing that made it go nuclear? Because at one point it was like hovering, but then all of a sudden, as soon as the Den and Angie, the infamous Christmas episode, the ratings were like through the roof.
Yeah.
You know what
Dirty
I mean?
Den.
Dirty Den. UK miner strike ends.
So I don't know if that's official, because it kept on just saying UK miners strike in UK miners, and I wasn't sure if there was different union strands within the miners or if it was all the National Union of Miners. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the miners' strike ended after about 18 months.
The last ones to end was Wales.
Oh.
That was the last one. You stood out right till the end.
The miners' strike ends. Obviously, we've missed out 1984 and the Battle of Orgreave.
God, yeah.
All that stuff.
Coal Not Dole was the big badge thing.
Coal Not Dole.
Support the miners, you
Thatcher,
know what I mean?
Thatcher being a massive bitch. Oh, you'll remember this one.
Dire Straits, Brothers in Arms. Well, it was massive. Did your dad have the CD, didn't he?
Oh, my dad had Brothers in Arms. Yeah, I heard Brothers in Arms a million times.
I think I'd heard Brothers in Arms round yours, actually, in numerous Pink Floyd songs. What else, album-wise, got released?
Stop the Presses. Tears for Fears, Songs from the Big Chair, was released in 1985. One of the best albums, I think, ever.
I'm going to say 80s, right?
I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and just say ever.
You're going to say ever.
What an album.
It's a great album. Actually, I haven't listened to it all the way through for a long time, but I do know the songs.
Oh, yeah.
There's not that many songs. Do you know what I mean?
There's only 8 songs. The only one that I tend to skip past.
I believe,
yeah.
I knew you were going to pick that
one. Not a huge fan of that one.
Yeah.
But I did love the video because Roland Orzabal is shirtless. And I've loved that man since I was 6.
Big curly hair, wasn't it?
It was his whole face. His whole energy. His aura.
I was listening to Shout the Day and I was struck by, you know, the drums on it are huge.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's similar era to, like, sort of Running Up That Hill, where it's like a massive big anthem and everybody loves...
Everyone loves Shout.
Everybody Wants to Rule the World, which is... gorgeous song.
That's still played really often, like on radio stations and stuff.
Because people don't get bored of it.
Yeah. And one final thought on Songs of the Big Chair, Working Hour.
Oh, God, yes.
That's.
No, I haven't heard that one in ages.
Oh, my God.
I haven't heard that one in so long. Mother's Talk, we were talking about, which is fantastic. Head Over Heels, you know, actually. I mean the songs are great.
We haven't even spoken about the fact that Broken and Head Over Heels are technically one beautiful song.
God, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
Oh, my God, it's a great album. I had the album, and you know when, because I would have been 16, 17, like a shy youth, and we went to Franchi's cafe, and I pulled out the LP, you know, to have a look at it and all that. There was a really cool girl came over and she went, ooh, good choice.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, wow, this is great. I'll hide the book's face. You know, and just... and I thought, oh, my God, yes, it's a cool band. Also, I was going to say, in 1985... we do have Around the World and Day by Prince, which for me, I think is a great album. because Raspberry Beret is on it.
Raspberry Beret? What a song. Do you know what it is? Definitely would have heard Around the World in a Day.
Uh-huh.
I can't think of any songs.
Paisley Park. Paisley Park, I like that and all that. Got like big heavy drums. Got that 80s drum thing to it and all that.
Yeah.
I didn't realise a lot of Prince's records were a drum machine.
Was it?
Yeah, well, it was a Lynn drum machine that used to do the thing.
Oh.
And all this, because I thought he played everything. I think he did play drums. He did play drums, but he did used to program them a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like a metronome beat then, because it'll not go out with time.
Yeah. He's still an artiste.
He's still an artiste. It is a very good album. It's worth checking out. It's probably not as good as Purple Rain, but then...
What is?
So I think that's about it, music-wise. I can't really... Oh, Live Aid.
Live Aid happened.
Oh, I don't know. I think the word happened probably sums it up. It's quite bland when you looked at footage of it.
I guess.
Yeah, I like the Style Council, but they were rubbish on the day because it was the sound system wasn't amazingly great. Adamant was on and that was okay.
I remember...
You know, Queen loved it because our record sales went through the bloody roof. U2 on, but I don't really like U2.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, he got in the audience, didn't he? You know,
did he?
It always reminds us of, he was clicking his fingers, he only clicks his fingers, and he was going, that's another star for an African.
Dead.
And all this, right? But went to see one of the gigs, and he said, he was standing there, and Bono did the same thing on the stage, right? That's another one dead. And this Scottish guy went, stop clicking your fingers, you fucking cunt.
Stop killing those kids.
There's another two gone. Don't get that one in, Bono. But he was a bit sanctimonious, so wasn't he? Preached to other people about get your hand in your wallet. And then you had Bob Geldof.
Did the Boomtown Rats play Live Aid?
Just did, yeah.
Oh.
I think they don't like Mondays.
Oh. What's the other big one they had? Something about someone being 17. Maybe Banana Republic.
A lot of them didn't get on and play the hit. Spandau Ballet didn't. And then I saw an interview with Tony Hand and he goes, I wish we'd played Gold. You know.
Imagine.
I know.
Oh, they would have had the audience in the palm of a hand.
They would have, Ethiopia, this is for you. Gold!
I'll be thinking of some fucking obscure single that no one remembers.
I went to somebody's funeral and they were going on about, you know, the Boomtown Rat. And they said the Boomtown Rats and Madness were their favourite band ever. And I was like, really? I know it's a funeral. But, you know, I don't want to get finicky about things. You know what I mean? No, I couldn't really understand it.
Oh, yeah. I would have been like, really? Get me caught.
Get me caught, you've not pulled. They had an album called Tonic for the Troops. I know that much. Probably, I mean, sole knowledge of Live Aid. Or Phil Collins played two gigs.
Oh, he did? He did the American one in
Philadelphia?
Yeah.
And then he played the English one.
Oh, Phil Collins, man. I love him so much.
You do, don't you?
I used to make fun of me mum for liking Phil Collins and Genesis. Yeah. And now...
Because actually...
Fool on me.
We both like Level 42, which was a Janis speciality.
Yeah, she loved Level 42.
She loved Level 42 and I used to go,
Yeah.
You know.
I used to make it the shit off.
But so my good. God, Running in the Family. Actually, that would be 86. Yeah. Lessons in Love.
Freaking
bass part on it is amazing. So yeah, we do love them, actually. The Beach Boys played it, but they were horrendous. So
The American Live Aid.
The American Live Aid, yeah. Madonna did it. No.
I think Diana Ross do the American Live Aid because they also did a We Are the World, We Are the Children.
I haven't seen that documentary.
Oh, I haven't either.
You've seen the documentary about it. It's supposed to be amazingly weird.
Oh.
It's got Michael Jackson in it.
We
are the world.
You know it's going to be weird if MJ is involved.
Go on, then what else forgot me, little duck?
Well, a bit of local knowledge. The Nissan factory in Sunderland is completed in 1985.
I remember that.
Phil Lynott dies on the 4th of January 1986. However, he initially collapses on Boxing Day in 1985.
Aww.
And found unconscious.
Yeah.
So yeah, poor Phil Lynott, legend.
Poor Phil Lynott, yeah. Great records, great bass player.
Quite topical, we've got some riots going on. We've got Handsworth riots, Brixfield.
I remember the Brixton one.
Broadwater Farm riots, which were, I think were linked to the... No, I think it was... Broad. It wasn't like an actual farm, it was like an estate.
About all in the summer.
I think it was, eh?
Yeah. Enoch Powell.
Because there was the Handsworth riots in Birmingham, and then Enoch Powell used that as a... Oh, I was vindicated. I've been saying for years that this was going to happen, and now look.
Yeah.
And he can just rest in peace.
Oh, Enoch Powell. I know somebody you knew, actually. Yeah.
Was he the one that wrote, Time Dot Enoch was right?
No, it was a woman, actually. She used to live in the same street as him.
Oh.
Yeah. Enoch Powell. Was it Rivers of Blood speech was the famous speech that he did?
I think I've read it 4 years ago. Tammy, I'm not interested in that shit.
Oh, it's fucking pure. In Geordie language, they used to have a thing called, you know, knock your door neighbour.
Uh-huh.
But then they'd call it Enoch and I'll run. Like, as in yeel. Oh, yes. You know what I mean? So that always used to symbolise visions of Enoch Powell for me.
Oh.
You know, and Eric Clapton.
I wouldn't have known who Enoch Powell was had that spray paint on the side of the Crown Bingo at Tyne Dock.
Oh,
when
right.
The Metro would go past and it had spray painted on the side, Enoch was right. And just me being like, who the fuck's Enoch? And do you know what? He wasn't right. He was wrong. He was entirely wrong.
He is full of shit.
Comic Relief was launched.
Hey, God. Lily Savage done a thing about one of her stand-up routines. And she went, oh, yes, well, all the news is about Comic Relief. She goes, what do you think I'm going to do? Wank off Ken Dodd?
God, that'd be horrifying.
Teeth would cut you off.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Gary seen Ken Dodd because it was the whole Magician of the Year thing, which Gary won.
Oh.
Gary stayed for the first hour of his show, and then he left, and then he comes back 2 hours later, and Ken Dodd's still on the stage doing the act.
Oh my God. That's excessive.
I know. You got your money's worth, though.
I don't remember this. However, Battle of Beanfield, did you know that Stonehenge used to have free festivals every year in the summer?
Oh, yes, they did.
Well, they started doing, like, barriers and shit in, like, the late 70s, but then they kind of relaxed a little bit. They just arrested everyone.
It was a commune thing, though, wasn't it?
I think it was just for, like, solstice in the summer.
Was it Druids?
Well, yeah, I think it was, like, you know, that kind of... But, I mean, like, the Thompson twins played there.
Did they?
Yeah, in Other People.
Other People? Played Live Aid with Madonna on tambourine.
Oh.
Yeah. I can't remember if she sang that much on it, though.
She better not have, like, she would have ruined it.
Can you imagine? Don't sing much, you know, just bash that tambourine.
Turn the mic off.
Get the fucking mic off. I can't remember too much about 1985.
The Troubles, we've got 57 deaths.
Oh, right.
It's quite low.
Yeah, we're still going, though.
But, I mean, I can't imagine how many people were injured. 13-year-old Ruth Lawrence gets a first degree in maths from the University of Oxford, and she's the youngest ever graduate.
Well, that's good.
That's pretty cool.
That's great.
The House of Lords, which is now the Supreme Court, so don't get it confused with the House of Lords that I was just talking about.
Oh, right.
In Parliament. The House of Lords is now the Supreme Court of the UK. House of Lords ruled what's called Gillick competency. So that was Gillick versus West Norfolk and Wisbech Area Health Authority. And it was for, we still use this case today, it's for under 16-year-olds to have their own control over any medical decisions concerning them.
All right.
But they have to be deemed, like, Gillick competent. So they have to, like, understand, like, if they're going to refuse treatment, they have to, like, understand the ramifications, but they don't need their parental consent if they want to either seek treatment or not have it at all.
Well, that's good.
I feel like...
See, that's too young.
Before I was 16, I would have been like, yeah! Like, what a really good idea. But now that I have a teenager, I'm now like, oh.
Oh, God, yeah. I suppose it changes you.
But I wouldn't want her to make a decision and then just... stick to it no matter what. Because you're in that kind of, when you're a teenager, like, you will cut your nose off to spite your face.
1985?
I was excited.
I left school that year. I just remember I'd been really bland, actually. I think it was because I was trying to find my way. Plus, I'd come out of special education into college and had no social skills.
Yeah.
Was even worse than me.
I'm gonna have to cut this out.
I'm not gonna think it.
Date of birth, blah blah blah. Address. He was worse.
He's far worse than me. No, it was just a weird time. It was all them hormones.
Oh yeah. God.
Teenage years are fucking
Teen years are the fucking worst.
They are, they're absolutely horrendous. View to a Kill. Opening scene, Bond in snow.
Yeah, I have Russians in helicopter.
Yep.
Bond uncovering a dead man.
Oh, God, yes, he does.
He's got a metal detector, and so he gets a locket with a picture in, but really it's got a chip in it.
It's got a chip in it, yeah. I was going to put a chip in the Fabergé egg, didn't they?
Oh, they love it. Love the chips.
They love that chips. Down on the fucking chips.
It was British. Love my chips.
And then we'll have a skiing thing.
Yeah, it's not as exciting as the usual skiing.
I put very good, but then I remembered that actually it was quite pedestrian and mercifully short.
Oh, I mean, we forget that the Russians are going after him as he's skiing down the mountain. He's wearing all white, so he's kind of blending in with the snow.
Yeah.
But then he's then on a snowmobile. Oh, it is a bit action-y because he's on a snowmobile.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then I think, does he throw the snowmobile into the helicopter?
It blows up.
Then blows that up, but...
Yeah.
Then he has to use a bit of metal as a makeshift snowboard.
Oh, God, yes.
And what's the song playing?
So he's really suave and sophisticated, and he comes down to the theme of California Girls.
By the Beach Boys.
By the Beach Boys. I've got, for some reason, we're not too sure.
I mean, that I feel like that sets the tone for the rest of the film, that it's like now...
Naff.
It's not just that they're in on the joke, because I like that. I like that in the Octopussy when they played the 007 theme on the little flute.
Oh, Fiji, yes. Yeah. That bit was good.
I like that bit. They're in on the joke. Now, this is like a parody of itself.
Oh, to take in the mickey out of it, really, isn't it? And it destroys any kind of credibility that it could have.
Yeah.
It doesn't have any credibility once you hear the Beach Boys song. I love the Beach Boys.
I love the Beach Boys.
I thought it was absolutely tragic that it was put in. It was just too... let's put some comedy in there. And it was just played so wrong. And it was paced so wrong too.
Yeah. So shame on you people.
Yeah. And then we'll have the submarine turns up with the Union Jack.
Oh, yeah. There's a secret boat. Bluga and Vodka.
Yep.
Shag's Lady. I didn't catch her name.
Oh, you say something about, what was it? It's a good few months till we get back. It's very tired and very much every Bond movie shoved in.
Yeah.
All the ideas, as if they've sort of run out of ideas, like anything original.
Yeah.
It's redeemed by meeting you is a view to... It's redeemed by the theme tune, and the graphics are good.
Yeah, I mean, the theme is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you can't fault that theme. UV luminous makeup.
Oh, God, yeah, it looked like the Wham video for Wake Me Up.
Oh.
With the bright...
Yeah, because she has, like, UV lipstick and nails, and I believe I've wrote there's a UV gun.
There is.
I can't remember this. It's only been...
John Taylor from... John Taylor from Duran Duran notoriously went up to Cubby Broccoli and said, when's somebody going to write a decent Bond theme?
Oh.
And Cubby went, write it, you twat.
And they fucking certainly did.
They fucking did. No, actually, they pulled their finger out, if that's and danced into that fire. So we like the title, and then we're going into I've Got Money Penny Dressed as Little House on the Prairie.
Money Penny dressed up.
Yeah.
Hugh is pissing about with a remote control dog. I don't have anything really much to say about Money Penny apart from like at the end I can't say what she looks like because it's really offensive.
Oh yeah.
They've done Lois Maxwell a disservice in this film.
Is this the... Oh, yes, come on, because this is the last one, isn't it?
Is this the last one that she's in?
Yeah, everything's creaky and tired in this movie, though. All of the actors. Oh my God. Well, apart from the great villains, but there's a lot of just going through the motions, isn't there?
Do you not think they've kept all the men, like the main men in this film, are older?
Yeah.
Do you think it's because the men who would have watched it from the beginning are older now as well and they're trying to like hang on to them just for like one more film and then it'd be like, oh, well, you know, the next film, we're going to get a younger guy in so that you'd be like, oh yeah, that was me 10 years ago.
Oh,
but at the
right.
minute, you can still be like, I could still do that. I could do what James Bond is doing.
It might be that because I didn't go and see Beauty to Kill at the cinemas. I've seen Octopussy and I missed Beauty
I thought
to
this
Kill
would have been quite good at the cinema.
It probably would. This big spectacle of Gracie on the Eiffel Towers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Would have been good. Well, the microchip computer, as Q says about the microchip, doesn't he? We're introduced to the word of Zorin quite quickly and all, really.
Yeah, Zorin is some guy. He's dominating. So microchips are vulnerable to electronic magnetic pulse, but not this particular one from Zorin Industries.
Mm.
So it's a real game changer.
It's a game changer.
I didn't really look up like microchips and the history of Silicon Valley, unfortunately.
No.
Do you feel disappointed that I didn't look into this? I mean, microchips are in everything now.
They're in everything. They're on your bloody phone now. The phone's probably got better microchips than the ones in Silicon Valley. 003 got killed in Siberia.
Oh, yes, that's the dead man.
Borrowed from Live and Let Die and all, isn't it? You know, like, 004's been killed in such and such, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and then 009 is killed in Octopussy.
Oh, God, yeah. Very retready.
Yeah.
We've got that horse race thing comes up, do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, MI6 are out at the races.
Yeah.
With a fucking public purse. Someone pay for that.
Get back there, do your job.
Get back in the office. The minister and...
Oh, yeah, they're all having a bit of flutter, aren't they?
Yep, they're having a little spy about. You see Zorin in Mayday for the first time.
Oh, yeah, Mayday's got the big hat on, hasn't she?
Yeah, she looks marvellous.
Oh, she looks amazing.
Do you like horse racing?
No, shit.
Yeah, it's shit.
It's almost as bad as the fucking card games that they play in the Bond movies.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they make us switch off. The card games are like, oh, fucking not again. You do all this online on bloody phone, Candy Crush.
Do you not play cards?
No, I'm very bad at games.
Oh.
They take too long. Yeah. I don't play like 21 bus, though.
Oh, that's an easy one. Oh, I quite like the card game.
I'm not one.
I don't like watching someone else play a card game, though.
Mm.
That's fucking boring as shit.
I don't give us a clue.
I definitely don't like horse racing.
It does introduce them. And I think, because obviously you've got Zorin and Mayday, and then we see Sir Godfrey.
Sir Godfrey, who we're going to know as Tibbet?
Tibbet, yes.
Yeah, so Sir
and,
Godfrey. Who is
Tibbet?
Sir Godfrey?
An old spy who should have been retired. And it's actually Steed from the Avengers.
Yep.
Which was saying before, Joanna Lumley, Diana Rigg, Honor Blackman, the guy who plays Steed, which escapes me my memory for 2 seconds, is also in it as...
Tibbet?
As Godfrey Tibbet.
Godfrey Tibbet.
He always looks like he's got a slight indigestion. And he's always got to follow Rogers, hasn't he?
Yeah.
You know, Arian.
So the whole reason for the horse race thing is Sovereign can't just be rich and bragging about it. There's some sort of suspected fixing within the horse racing world.
Oh yeah, they've always got to have something, haven't they?
Got like a double storyline.
Like a double storyline, yeah.
So not only is he a bad yuppie, he's infiltrating the gambling system.
And he's not playing fair.
Yeah, he's a dirty cheat.
And then we're zinging to Paris.
Gay Paris?
I wish I could say Gay Paris. But with the weird thing with the butterflies. The butterflies are on fishing rods sort of thing.
They're on like fishing rods and fishing wire.
And they go over.
Bond has went to meet a detective. I didn't really catch his name. But it's in the Eiffel Tower restaurant.
In the Eiffel Tower nice. Looked very nice.
Do you think the Papillon singer is real? Do you think that was, she was like on the circuit in the 80s? It was weird. Yeah. It was very French if that's a real act that someone did.
It could have been.
I thought it was just bizarre. I thought it was gross. The detective who's possibly older than Bond.
Yeah.
They're like staring at the butterfly woman.
Oh yes, I liked her.
We should add this butterfly to our collection.
Oh yeah.
And it was just like, oh ew, she's a person. Gonna go twos on a bastard?
Well, she's got twos on a bastard. You got your butterfly dog. It kills the guy, and the guy falls into the soup, doesn't he, or something like that.
Yeah, so I've got Mayday's taking over the butterflies and somehow killed the detective.
Poison dart in the butterfly thing, isn't it? Maybe
I was just writing down.
Wax on the fucking head.
I was probably just writing down what the fuck is this.
Kills the guy, and then we'll have the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, this is pretty good.
Yeah, no, the bit of the Eiffel Tower's good. The bit where she jumps off's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, so basically they're chasing each other up and down the Eiffel Tower steps on the outside bit.
They are.
Shooting each other? I feel like they're shooting each other. Yeah, then she flies off. Is it like a parachute or a little paraglider?
It's a parachute. she has a big kind of black cape thing, though, doesn't she? And that kind of gets thingied off.
Oh, releases parachute.
Goes down. She hasn't got a Union Jack on her parachute.
It's not even a French. Not even a French flag.
Officer, we're having a few words with that.
Oh, because...
Car chase?
Nearly.
God.
Almost. I just want to see Bond jumps on top of a lift. So he's back on that lift again. He can't just get in the lift, but bad things happen when he gets in lifts.
Diamonds are forever, I think.
Then the French taxi driver. So this is how we get these terrible stereotypes of the French people, because the French taxi driver is in a car drinking red wine from a plastic cup.
Yeah.
And he's not taking any phase. He's like, no.
No.
I think he's got a baguette on.
I thought it was medium.
Serves him right, because that French bastard wouldn't pick up James Bond, he steals his car,
he whacks the guy out of the car, he gets his onions out, he chucks them out, he gets the garlic out, he chucks them out, and then straight in that car.
So apologies to the French nation. So terrible, but yeah, and I've just got him, did I enjoy the car?
The car, at one point the car goes in half. Do you remember the car thing?
It's absolutely not Roger Moore.
It's not him in the car?
Yeah,
because you can see it's just not him.
It's not him.
It's not him, it's Lombard, I think.
Yeah.
There's no kind of like wow bitting it up till now, isn't there?
Oh, he does smash through the roof of a boat.
I've just remembered, yes, because he lands on the...
He lands on the wedding cake.
Lands on the wedding cake, doesn't he?
Yeah. Zoran picks up Mayday. She's fine. She's unscathed.
Oh, yeah. She's all right.
Did she end up on the board at one point, maybe?
She might. I think she did.
They ruined the wedding.
It's like the boat scene in Live and Let Die. The boat goes up on the thing.
Oh, the funeral boat?
The funeral boat. There's always a boat around to ruin something.
At least they never boat chase.
Oh, God, yeah, thank God. Then Borchers doesn't get redeemed until Brosnan does the one. The world is not enough. Do you know where it goes on anything that goes singing?
Nah.
Do you not?
No, but I'll see I'm what excited. We'll
That's my favourite Borchers. And I've got the horse bit.
Yep, we're at the horse fair / auction.
Yep.
The henchman has a big scratch on his face. Yeah, he's got a big scar. We're never going to find out.
Oh, yeah, no, we don't find out.
I don't know if that's the actor's real facial scar or if it was just put on for this film. It's not referenced.
It's not referenced. It's just kind of like stuck on there. Is it at this point that we know that Dolph Lundgren's in it?
We'll see him later. I don't recall seeing him until he's there.
Oh, till later on. Yeah, yeah. Jenny Flex.
Oh, yeah, because I've just referred to her as Horsewoman the entire time. Jenny Flex.
Bond's room. Gives Estivad a dressing down. I'd hate to be his valet. Because he's kind of being bossy, but they're looking for... We could just reference all the Bond movies.
I know.
And that doctor, I know he's looking for that little microphone thing, isn't he? So he's checking for bugs.
Yeah, so Lord Godfrey is now pretending to be Tibbet. He's chauffeur / butler / general slave. I mean, I guess it would be like a PA now. it's his special PA. And Bond is John St. Smythe or John Paul II St. Smythe or some shit.
Like Last of the Summer Wine visit France.
Oh my God, you know I mean, the mean? Fact that we've got like two older men doddering about. And then, although I did like the driver and etc. I'll stay in the servants' quarters, which is like a fucking palace.
Oh, and God, then, yeah.
But James is going to be staying somewhere else.
Somewhere nicer.
Jenny Flex, so get introduced to her. Did you like her? Is she a Bond girl? Does she come back later? Have I seen this film? I think she does come back later on,
I'm sure.
Does he shag her?
A cheeky finger on the stairs? I don't know if I'm getting into shagging thing with that.
Bond's like, I take it you spend a lot of time in the saddle.
Oh, God, I forgot about that bit.
Oh, yes.
Even the quips are dire, aren't they?
So, as you were saying earlier, the room is bugged.
Yeah.
Although I liked it how they had a recorder. It was very Kananga from Live and Let Die. Because Live and Let Die, he records himself on a big rant and then something very similar with James Bond.
Oh, yeah, he comes in because the machine still plays and he comes back in, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, Smith! No.
You two old bitch! Who the fuck's a Jocktonarian?
So he's got a recording of him talking on for the whoever's listening.
$5 million check. Also, we've got Tanya Roberts turns up, who is the Bond girl for this movie.
Yeah, there's like
talking
a little
to Soren and all that.
It's a little garden party. Bond sees Mayday, and I just love it because she's just like absolutely unimpressed with him.
Who the fuck are you?
She like could not give any shit.
Yeah.
And then, oh, he's got his special sunglasses on.
Oh, yeah, so he can see stuff.
And then we don't know why, because we think Stacey Sutton is in league with Zorin.
And she's not.
Well, we don't find that out until later.
Oh, yeah. But yeah,
she may or may not be in league with Zorin. He gives her $5 million. And it's like,
$5 million,
and
yes.
And it's like, what's that for?
The check, innit? Yeah. Bond's got the ring.
His ring takes pictures. I've got Spy in my special sunglasses. He's snooping about.
Yeah.
He's doing a terrible job because everyone keeps on going like, yeah, the party's outside. Oh, I'm just looking for the toilet.
Oh. It's a bladder control of mine.
We meet Monocle Man.
Oh, German guy.
Yep, he was Dr. Karl Mortner in this film.
Yeah.
But he's formerly Hans Glaub.
Hans Glauber. Actually, he's not culturally stereotyped anyway.
No. So he's an ex-Nazi, but that's not confirmed until later on. But
they have
ways
of making you talk.
And then he's talking about inferior breeding of horses or...
Oh, God, yes. It's like the...
So it's very... eugenics, like on Moonraker, but now it's animals and stuff. So
we'll have an actual Nazi in there. So,
general lazy Nazi.
Yeah, just let's go.
I mean, they did so many bad things, and they're just concentrating on. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, we've got the Autobahn off though.
I mean, was that Nazis though, or just the German infrastructure and not Nazis?
Oh, it could have been, couldn't it? Yeah.
The Nazis can't claim everything from 39 to 45.
Can you imagine a guy that plays a German in the ER, and you come back and he'll go to the OV going like, oh yes, like Nazi Germany, Hitler and all that. And you go like, no, he was Austrian, he wasn't German.
Oh yeah, pay them a lot of that.
So we've got, or was he paid by the CIA? We'll just never know. Could be conspiracy theory time, couldn't it?
I mean, I don't think that, but that's the worst thing about it.
Did he have...
Did have one ball.
A did he didn't have one ball, did he? I thought it was put round to see he was less of a man or something.
No, he had some kind of hernia in World War One.
Oh, that had chopped his nut off.
Yeah. Ooh. I've read this multiple times, because I'm sure it's like, that's not true, is it? And he does. Hitler only has one ball.
He only had one ball. The other is on it. Oh, well.
Bring the next songwriter in for the new Bond movie.
Oh, hiya, darling. I'm Gary Campus Bundle Bunny. I've seen the prospective titles. I wrote a little ditty for them.
Fabulous. Well, to cut a long story short, let's go for gold. Did you get it?
No.
Anyway, let's hear the Spandau Ballet song for View to a Kill.
This is a view to a kill.
Ah, sounds a bit like True. Right, what about Octopussy?
Oh, Octopussy. This is Octopussy.
Next.
Underground Lab Steroids.
They're looking for Pegasus.
There's a fight scene.
If you're wondering how Bond has managed to get out of his room, then they're playing a recording of him snoring.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have thought that was really funny if they'd had him, like, recording, like, farting and stuff. Like, that's coming out in your sleep. It's all horse steroids and we've got some
wise guys. It is the most boring sequence in a Bond movie ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once it gets past the Eiffel Tower bit and it's just like, oh, fucking hell, this is going to drag.
They found like an underground lab where the steroiding horses, and then they go downstairs again, or maybe they go off to a little side room and really it's a microchip warehouse.
Oh, they've got a thing that boxes people up, haven't they?
Well, I think it boxes microchips up, but...
And it boxes a guy up, doesn't it?
Boxes the guy up. So they're immediately caught. But, yeah. Oh, the fight is so bad.
Oh, it's really tiring. It's not as bad as the fight later on.
They didn't even speed it up.
Like, it was very dreadful, wasn't it?
It was slow, it was poorly choreographed.
Yeah.
And this is from someone who does not know how to choreograph a fight.
You're surprised. Guess where we're going? It's 3 o'clock.
Fight choreography school. Yeah, it was just shite.
It was a boring fight scene. And then I've got Mayday.
Zoran and Mayday are having their own little fight.
Oh, God, yes. Mayday, Zoran fight. They have a weird fight.
I thought it was weird.
Yeah.
They're kind of practicing fighting skills on each other, I guess. But then the kiss. But Mayday's reaction to being kissed is so angry.
Yeah.
I was confused that either she was angry that he kissed her or she was angry that they were interrupted. Everyone knows that some shit's going down in the warehouse and that's why the fight's interrupted. I just didn't know the basis of her anger.
All the messages in it are mixed.
Yeah, I mean, they're very sweaty. First of all, Holden smiles a lot, but he can be smiling for anything.
He could be smiling. He's just happy.
Yeah, he's just a really happy guy.
He wants to do a
tap
dance, doesn't he?
Oh, my God.
In tap dance, climb up the wall. I don't have no choice. You know,
what a music video.
It's a great video.
Hey, put this on.
Have you got the Mayday thing where Bond ends up with Mayday in the bed?
Oh, I liked it though, in a weird way.
She comes out on top.
Yeah, I like it that he's like, oh, wait. I don't know what he says to get her in bed. I think he's just like...
Come be a wench.
Fancy a jump.
Fancy a jump. Actually, the story was they'd done a take. Roger pulls back the bed sheet and Grace Jones had stuck a big, massive dildo. And he's probably thinking, two paracetamols and I'll take that.
Don't know if this is a first, but Mayday's having none of it and she whips him over on his back.
Oh, yeah.
She's on top.
She's on top. Like the girls on top. That's what that was. That was a TV show in 1985.
So Mayday is shag number 31.
Mayday is the shag.
She's the boss.
She's
the... I mean, it's a bit of a good quip because Zorin's like, oh, how did you sleep? Bond's like, I was a little bit restless, but I got off. Wait, I fucked your lady.
Oh, God. Guess who I've been poking? I don't know why it's really because, obviously, he knows it's Bond, James Bond now.
Yeah.
They have the car wash scene. In the car wash scene, does Godfrey not get killed?
He goes to wash the car. I think Zorin invites Bond out for a little horse race.
He does, yeah, but that weird horse race thing, isn't it, where the...
Zorin's a cheating cunt.
Yeah, he is. Because the thing came up, didn't it?
Every time Zorin jumps over a horse jump, they go higher.
Yeah.
Or lower, if
lower
it's...
Lower than a five.
Higher or lower.
Higher or lower.
It's just he's rigged the obstacle course horse race.
Oh, God, even that was boring.
I don't think... I know so little about horse racing, I'm not going to start. I'm guessing this was regulation horse racing of some sort. But yeah. It was boring, he cheated, but James still won because he's a fucking sportsman.
Yes, and it's Roger Moore.
So he goes off track.
He does, yes. Bond rides Inferno, Godfrey's flat out, and Mayday is driving the car.
Yeah, he manages to get out of the race, and then he goes into the passenger window.
And then he thinks it's Godfrey.
Because he thinks it's, I mean, what a mistake. Because Godfrey looks nothing like Mayday.
Grace Jones.
So it's Mayday driving in Godfrey's deed.
She pulled up to that bumper.
Oh my God, I fucking love that song.
I know, I love that.
It's so good. I think it could even, I mean, Slave to the River is really good.
Oh, Slave to the River.
But Pull Up to the Bumper, I fucking
Pull Up to the Bumper,
what
that's a brilliant song.
it's like Detour.
I like her version of Leave Me on Rose.
Oh, like, I haven't heard it.
Have you not heard it?
No.
Oh, it's fucking crazy. It's about 6 minutes long.
Oh, I expect nothing less.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's so good.
Did you like it? So just before the car gets into the water, do you like how like Zorin's just like, MI6 aren't going to come looking for you. You're a fucking embarrassment.
Oh, God, yeah.
It's really harsh.
It's really, really brutal, isn't it? Because the scenes do light up with... As you say, Mayday in the car bit, and also with the Walton bits, that does
light up
then. It's like sort of a different movie.
It is like, yeah, but like, he is just like two fucking fumbling old fucking men. They haven't sent the elite task force after us.
Well, this is a thing, they're so ill prepared, aren't they?
I mean, they are ill prepared.
Yeah. They're getting outspotted by the.
Yeah, Zorin picks up on this and being like, you're old, you're outdated.
Fuck off.
Get fucked.
Get the car in the water, obviously. He does the thing with the wheel, doesn't he?
I don't know. It was exciting though, because the horrifying bit with the water filling up the car. FYI, if you are trapped in a car that's going into the water, you open the doors so it fills up quicker, but you have to wait until the car's submerged and then you can go out.
Really?
Yeah. That's what you meant to do. But, I mean, fucking hell, that's a panic situation.
Oh, God.
I'm definitely not sucking out any tire air.
Oh, yeah. That happens in another one, though. He sucks the air out of somewhere else, doesn't he?
Does he?
I might just suck the fucking fun out of this.
So, I hope, well, I would like to think that that air thing's real, but what's in the air of a tire? Keep you alive for a little bit, I guess.
Well,
you're smashing your teeth out though on that metal thing as you're sucking it though. Hey.
I've got Gorgle here.
Gorgle?
Gorgle makes a little...
Makes an appearance, he meets Zoran.
Oh, he does.
I'm starting to like Gorgle throughout...
Yeah,
I'm
he's quite
fucking still saying his name wrong, like.
Gorgle. He's Gorgle. Quite confident. Gorgle. General Gorgle. It's quite confident nobody's going to pop up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's still the Cold War. Russia still hate war.
But they've got a kind of nice relationship with Gorgon and all that. It's not that bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's, at this point, it's like we all know what each other are doing. Like frenemies. There we go. Teen speak.
Yeah, frenemies. Microchip Common Sand.
Dolph Lundgren is in this bit.
Oh, yeah. Matey.
Oh, and then she picks up a henchman and just, like, fucking throw him. I don't know why. I think she's just showing us show her strength. But a henchman gets picked up.
Oh, God, and chucked in her. We're now going to make our way to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. We're in an airship.
A Zeppelin.
Oh, is that what it is?
Zeppelin. Like Led Zeppelin, isn't it?
Oh,
which was a play on words, obviously, because if it was a Led Zeppelin, it would have
floated. Did you know that the reason why they spelt lead wrong was because they didn't want people to mistake them for Lead Zeppelin?
Did they?
Yes, yeah, so that's why they took the A out.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go.
Another bit of beautiful, trivial information that you'll never use.
I've got CIA guy.
Yeah, so we've got Chuck Lee, who is this film's lighter.
Oh, the Chinese detective.
Yep, because
yes,
we're in
a TV show.
Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco, which I didn't realise, but it's famous.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, my God. Right, no, get back. Rewind this bit, right, because we've missed out. We're in the airship. The set's amazing. A map. The model comes out of a table.
It does, yeah.
Zoran wants to end the control of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And then you have, obviously, someone going, oh, I'm not down with this. Like, this sounds mental.
Yeah.
He's like, all right, cool. Well, if you just step outside.
Yeah.
Because I don't want you hearing me awesome plan. The door turns into a slide and he shoves
out. Oh, he shoots down the Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he
so
does.
He gets murdered for dissenting against Zoran.
Zoran.
Yeah, I mean, that was really good. Yeah. Oh, and then, because you've got Zoran says, does anyone else want to drop out?
Oh, God, yeah.
And then finally, Mayday says, as they're coming into San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's quite a view, to which Zoran replies, to a kill.
Oh, yes.
Fucking right, they say it.
That's quite a view.
I was thinking the whole time, how are they going to say the film title?
Because the original title was From a View to a Kill.
Oh.
I don't think it needs the from, though.
From a View to a Kill?
From a View to a Kill.
Oh. No, I think
I don't
think
the From a View to a
Kill
is much better. That's the only thing they've got.
That's the only thing that made this film good.
Chop the from off, you'll have a good movie.
We find out Morton has an ex-Nazi at this point when he's chatting to Chuck Lee.
Oh, yeah.
In a fish key. Fisherman's Wolf, San
Francisco. Fisherman's Wolf, yeah. We'll find out the whole German thing, which is a good subplot.
Yeah, I think is Morton Zoran's, like, surrogate dad, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not actually related, but it's something
I don't
like
think
that.
They're related. It's probably picked up.
Oh, because Zoran... Is Zoran ex-KGB or something?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then he takes him under his wing, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And all that. And he's got ideas.
He's got big ideas.
Monster Race.
Yeah. Start my horses.
Autobahn. Breakfast sausages.
The irony of all this French shit and horses. They eat horses.
Oh, near the tun.
La fucking cheval. So anyway. Okay, so now we're underwater. Have you wrote anything down for this bit?
Diffuse bomb. Because he did defuse a bomb.
It's like a little side quest.
There's a little side quest. And then we've got the tape.
We're underwater. Bond's free diving after stopping a rotor with an oxygen tank. Mayday's found some random guys. This is all in... it must be in Fisherman's Wharf or something.
Yeah.
There's a ship. Oh, it's not a fucking ship. It's a cargo boat of some sort. They find Klartoff, who is KGB.
Oh, yes.
Klartoff. And then Zorin is asking him to defuse the bomb. And yeah. Then the rotor comes back on.
Yeah.
And then they drop him on the rotor and kill him. The lady who is going to be Paula Ivanova, who is also KGB, she's going to manage to escape from the sea with the tape.
Oh, yes.
We're in Chinatown.
Yeah.
Bond knows Paula Ivanova, Shag 32.
It does because they go in the hot tub, don't they?
Public hot tubs?
Public hot tub. Oh, it's just tickled by Tchaikovsky.
Hey.
You know,
I think public hot tubs were a thing. Not just there on the gay scene.
I know, I was going to say, AIDS spreader.
You got bathhouses.
Bathhouses, saunas. Hot tubs, saunas, yeah.
I think they were big in America. I wasn't born in 85, so I don't know.
Hot tub tickled me Tchaikovsky, which I did like. And there's Chinese music on the tape.
So,
well, this is very Diamonds Are Forever because of the music on the tape was the brass band.
Yeah. Bond's been humped and dumped.
He has.
Although Gogol picks her up outside the hot tub place.
Yep.
I'm thinking, ooh, you're going to get a general to be picking up KGB spy in public, I think.
Yeah, that he should have been more hidden.
Get a subordinate to do that. That's a general's work.
General Gogol.
And then they play the tape. And it's
the Chinese music.
Yeah, it's like atmospheric.
Dumped. Yeah, music. Ambient house or something. Silicon Valley.
Well, we meet G.W. Howe. Bond is being a spy and he's pretending to be from the Financial Times. And Zorin is pumping seawater into the oil pipes. Again, I could have checked what that would do, but I just couldn't bring myself.
Yeah.
But then you find out Stacey is an employee of G.W. Howe. And she's a geologist. He does follow her home though, and that was creepy as shit.
The big house.
She has a beautiful
house.
She has
a lovely old Gone with the Wind style mansion. Southern Baptist style mansion, isn't it?
It is. And then
Stacey Sutton, what a weird name for a Bond girl. After Pussy Galore, Stacey Sutton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then there's a terrible fight scene. Remember the terrible fight scene?
Oh, yeah.
Bloody him, he fought an 80-year-old man, probably looking for his bus pass. Probably has dementia, has wandered into the place.
First of all, he breaks into a house and he's sneaking about.
Oh, yeah.
And then you think he's going to peep on her in the shower.
Would he do that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We've seen him in multiple films do that. But then I liked that she comes out of the wardrobe with a shotgun. Then it also made us think, oh, come on, James, you're a bloody spy.
He's not a very good spy. I know, subterfuge. You know what you should have said?
Fight.
You know what you should have said? She comes out there with a shotgun, right? You could go, it's a bit too early for banging.
Hey!
I should have wrote this bit. The fight. He fights an old man. It's really dull and all.
It's really slow.
It's slow and dull.
The people are there to kill Tanya. Sorry, not Tanya. I keep writing Tanya.
Tanya, Stacey
Sutton. Yeah, the fight.
Oh, no, they don't have Nookie, though.
Nah, they don't. Oh, so I thought it was quite cute because after the terrible fight, I don't think anyone dies. I think they all just go into a car that's waiting. this lumbar into a waiting car. We'll find out that Stacey isn't going to sell ashes to Zorin, blah, 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 geologist, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Oh, so he's going to make sure that the house is all secure. And you'd think, well, he's definitely going to get a shag now.
Yeah.
See all this trim in the book that.
And your bedroom's on the lower floor.
Instead, he tucks her in and then he sits in the chair next to the bed with the shotgun. And I thought that was nice.
That was good. Very unbond.
It's not a Bond film. I don't know what this film is.
It's not a Bond. No, it isn't a Bond film, is it? Because he would have kicked the leg off the chair or something and she would have fell on him or something.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's make love. And,
those men could be back any minute. We need to have sex now.
So we've got 24 hours to save the world.
Yep.
Obviously.
Stacey tries to explain to GW how that Zorin's going to flood the fault line. Then she gets fired. And then Chuck Lee is going to join them in 24 hours.
Oh, yes.
Oh, but then you've wrote 24 hours until...
Save the world.
Save the world. But then who gives a shit about Chuck Lee because he gets strangled in the car by Mayday.
Yeah, she's very angry.
He was such a nothing character.
It wasn't like VJ in the last one. Yeah. Where there was a rapport between Roger and VJ.
Yeah.
In this one, everything's kind of cut and paste, doesn't it?
Do you think because he'd had his little friendship with Godfrey.
Oh, so they didn't want two, yeah.
Didn't want two buddy cop relationships.
Yeah.
Going on.
Because it was starting to look seriously like Lethal Weapon. In the... It was just weird, wasn't it?
Says poor Chuck Lee, indeed.
Chuck Lee's done. I've got Zorin turns up.
Oh, yeah, so...
Yeah.
I've got mixed feelings about this. This bit.
Is this the lift on fire scene?
Yes, pre-bit before where Zorin comes in and he's like, right, GW Hal, you're gonna ring the police now and see intruders. Blah, blah, blah. And then he kills him. What does he say in it?
He's quite bloodthirsty in it, though, isn't he?
It's like, call the police and report a break-in, and then he shoots him. And I get that he's trying to make it look GW Hal has died at the hands of Bond and Stacey. I do understand that.
Yeah.
It's just weird. Not through Christopher Walken.
Not through Christopher Walken. It was good. I did like this bit for the fire scene and all that. You had the lift bit and there was explosions and...
I enjoyed the lift being on fire. I was just like, that's no match for Bond.
Yeah.
Set the whole building on fire. He's going to be fine. And then the cables melt through the fire. And
Bond, save me. There was a lot of that going on, wasn't there?
And I was telling you while we were watching it that probably take a while for the cables to melt like that because they're like steel.
Oh, yeah.
But also they have emergency brakes
underneath the thing.
The lift carriages in case the cables ever do break. But, and I learnt that from Speed, Keanu Reeves.
A worse movie. I want to kill.
Bloody hell.
There's no tension in Speed. It's not like View to a Kill. The tensions when we get out in the daylight of the cinema and forget about the fucking thing. We've got the fire engine chase. But I didn't think that was too bad.
They get out of the flaming lift and then... I like that he lowers the fire hose for Stacey to try and get out of the lift.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, not wanting to turn the water on there, James, and extinguish some of those fires. But no.
No.
And, but then people are cheering because they go up to the roof. And then he brings her down the ladder and everyone's like, "Way, he's a hero!
He saved a mannequin."
Yeah. But then, because obviously they don't know that he's going to be accused of starting the fire. But yeah, and then here we go.
He starts the fire.
Yay!
It's always burning.
Here we go. The fire engine.
The fire engine's a big chase. There's a bit where the bridge gets lifted up, isn't there?
So I forgot that fire engines have a driver at the back and the front in America, not here.
Oh, yes.
because they're so big.
Oh, fucking huge and all, actually.
They are huge.
That went straight through San Francisco, because when all the bumps and all that, didn't it?
Cops are chasing the fire engine. He's hanging off the ladder because they haven't locked it. But it's a stuntman. And this is the part where they choose to speed it up. Not all of the shit fight scenes that we've sat through.
Yeah.
This is the bit where they speed it up for the stuntman.
They did, didn't they? Yeah, they did.
Oh, and then you see the take off the roof of the old truck, and there's two people shagging
it.
Oh,
they have a noogie.
And then, and then as you were saying, the bridge is lifted.
Bridge is lifted. The police car gets halfway up, then falls back down, doesn't it, and all that.
Yeah, the fire truck makes it, though.
The fire truck makes it.
And then they're still driving that fire truck up to the gate, which is Zorin's mine.
Oh, yes, Zorin's place.
So we're in a new place, San Andreas.
And it's all their fault.
Hey.
Women's Lib taking over the Teamsters.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that line in the thing?
So Stacey's in disguise, but she still gets to wear high heels.
She got to high heels.
She's not a fucking animal.
No.
In a mine.
Oh, yeah. In a mine with the fucking heels. I know. She would have fell right in that mud.
Oh, ankles would have been broken immediately. Oh. But then you get to see another model. It's a big set. Oh, I mean, the mine set.
The mine. Yeah, that was great.
But when they go on that weird little back office, and then they've got a 3D model of the San Andreas fault, and it all like lights up and everything.
Yeah.
That bit's really cool. I did like that bit.
That bit's good. Because we'll get the no-don't with that. They're going to blow it all up, aren't they?
Yeah. I thought that the tabletop map looked like a vulva.
It's a Swedish car. Grace Jones, Bond tries to escape. Bond saves Mayday. Mayday.
Mayday's chasing after them through the mine. Blah, 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 blah. Grace Jones, man.
She dies for...
Well, she does, but, like, I mean, throughout the chase, so, I mean, all that's really good.
Yeah.
Chasing them through the mines.
Yeah.
You think that's just going to beat the shit out of Bond. They kind of climb up a shaft of some sort. Way.
Shaft's big score.
Because Stacey gets out.
Yeah.
And, so Mayday sacrifices herself.
She does, because she puts the thingy down, she comes out and explodes.
Yeah.
That was good.
In the meantime, though, we have Miss Zorin. He's flooding the mine.
Oh, yeah,
He's detonating all the explosives, etc. And then the mine people are like, hey, can we, like, try and get the guys out? And he just starts indiscriminately shooting with a machine gun.
Oh, yeah. That was a bit Roger Moore hated.
Oh, I thought that was next level.
Because he said action. It wasn't like a Bond movie, because it was just somebody spewing out bullets and just shooting loads of bodies.
Yeah.
The body count would have been... Do you think they wanted to just toughen him off so it was like a newer Bond? Or do you think they were just kind of trying to compete with the Steven Seagals and the body counts?
Maybe they were trying to, like, psychopaths are now businessmen, multi-millionaires, which is true. But I think they wanted to try and do it that way, but also do a kind of action
thing.
It's definitely more action than espionage. Although, for once, Bond has tried to pretend to be someone else momentarily. Which is usually what espionage is about.
And then, obviously, the Zeppelin. Stacey gets caught very quick and very easy, because she's running along and shit, and then Zorin reaches out and drags her onto the Zeppelin.
He just scoops her up.
Scoops her up. And then the Zeppelin gets tied around the San Francisco Bridge.
Oh, yes.
And then, thankfully, we're into the end section, really.
We're into the end game.
Well, the end game's come quite quick for us. In the way that there's a back projection of the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, yeah.
Looks good.
I mean, it looks good.
You know.
Would you like to hear a little bit about the Golden Gate Bridge?
Go on.
Super high suicide rate on the Golden Gate Bridge. damage.
Well, I suppose so. You'd be writing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. So when you jump on the Golden Gate Bridge, you hit the water at about 75 miles an hour. So if you don't die from the impact into the water, because it's just like landing on concrete.
Oh, God, no.
You'll die of, like, shock hypothermia.
So oh, my God, that would be bad.
Or drowning. But, I mean, you're hoping you're just gonna... Some people do survive the jump, though.
Do they?
Yeah. But they've stopped officially counting jumpers in 1995 because a dickhead radio DJ, they were getting up to nearly 1,000.
Was it?
Like 997. This is like in 1995.
Yeah.
He said, oh, like, whoever the 1,000th jumper is will give a case of Snapple, which is like a soft, like a drink.
Yeah.
To the jumpers family. And so after that point, the coroner of San Francisco was like, we're going to stop publicly disclosing the official figures because we don't want to encourage anyone. You've got dickheads like that doing that.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
But unofficially, it's about 1,400 suicides on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Ooh.
So the last scene... We're on the Golden Gate Bridge.
On the Golden Gate Bridge, somebody falls off and it's not Jane. Christopher Walken. Christopher Walken.
I just thought it was a real dark place to film. I mean, I know it's iconic, San Francisco, Golden Gate Bridge. They could have done the final bit on, like, Alcatraz or something.
Oh, I don't know, because it looks more photogenic, doesn't it?
A Golden Gate Bridge.
With the Zeppelin attached to it.
I mean, yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? It would probably be more Bondian, I think.
Yeah, it's a real downer.
It's a real downer. And then...
Or maybe it wasn't until I told you all these suicide facts.
And then that's it, really, isn't it?
Jeez, are you really just going to try and end it because you've seen... What happens again? Right, where are we?
Kate's notes are very extensive.
Bond is on a rope flying over San Francisco. He ties the airship onto the Golden Gate Bridge. There's a little fight. And then eventually Zorin is like clinging on to one of the big, not the cables. He's hanging out on the bridge. He's still laughing away because he's a villain. And then he just dies. But the airship is still tied onto the Golden Gate
Bridge.
Oh,
God, the German guy's still in it.
And Dr. Morton, or whoever he's called.
Morg.
He's setting off the dynamite. He lights the dynamite, and then James Bond cuts the rope, and it explodes the airship.
It does.
But you don't see what happens, and then it's all like, Bond is missing, Moneypenny's crying. Q, for some reason, has that robot dog in Stacey Sutton's house, which is inexplicable.
Oh, yeah.
But they're in the shower, shagging away, and then Bond throws the towel over the robot dog, because the robot dog is a camera.
Yeah.
And that's shag number 33, Stacey Sutton. The wonderful Tanya Roberts, and then it's the end.
I think the throwing the towel in is a metaphor.
Oh.
For it. And that's it. How many gunshots?
I mean, if it was just a regular action film,
yeah,
it would probably be 4 gunshots out of 7.
Yeah.
But this is a James Bond film.
Yeah, and a lot of money went into it.
Did it? Where?
I don't know.
So it wasn't the stunts, or the filming, or the editing.
God, I know.
Or the writing. I mean, fucking hell.
It was the worst written one, actually.
It's pretty bad.
How many gunshots?
2.
Yeah, I think 2.
Yeah.
Is that the lowest with Thunderball?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was a snooze fest.
I mean, imagine if this film didn't have Christopher Walken in... Or Grace Jones. It would have been a 1.
Oh my God. It's a dreadful idea. Alternative Bonds.
We've discussed this. Who are you going for? I'm going for Michael Douglas.
You're going for Michael Douglas.
I think he would be really good as James Bond. He doesn't really do any comic roles. But this film wasn't funny, so it's alright. Oh, he's in, he's in that show, The Kominsky Method, where he's a retired actor doing a film school.
Doing a film school.
And it's quite good.
Right, I could go crazy with View to a Kill and say that we could have somebody who was born in 1985. There's a time travel backwards to appear in the Bond movie as James Bond.
I mean, I'm going to allow this, but I'm not happy.
Jonathan Groff.
Oh, I mean, he would be good.
Yes.
But he would be a baby.
He would be a baby.
In 1985.
Do you think it would be a stretch of the imagination?
I mean, what about...
I don't want to see Mel Gibson.
No, we're not seeing Mel Gibson. No, you can't have someone...
Can you not have somebody who was born in 1985?
Absolutely not. It has to...
Do you have Nigel Havers?
Yeah, that was last year. Oh. Last year. What about Jeff Bridges? I think I only love Jeff Bridges.
The dad? Oh, no, because there's the dad. That's one of the Bridges who's the dad, but it's not the dad.
No, Jeff Bridges.
Big Lebowski?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he would.
Do you remember what he looked like though in the 80s?
Yeah, he was handsome.
He's still handsome.
He's still handsome
even in
now,
his 70s, 80s, I don't know how old he is.
Who had the Roblox thing where it was the picture of Jeff Bridges on? Or was it? What?
Oh, it was Minecraft.
Oh, it was Minecraft, yeah. Lee done it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Lee...
Jeff Bridges. I mean, alternatively, for a real left field one, Chevy Chase.
He came up with the actors in 1985.
Fletch.
Spies Like Us.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
And that.
That was a movie where Paul McCartney done the theme tune for us. Spies Like Us. Do. Something like shit like that. It's an appalling song to a pretty appalling movie.
I feel like Spies Like Us. Was the video for that in the snow?
I think so.
Why I've seen all the Top of the Pops out of the 80s. Because that was on.
Spies Like Us.
And that was a Chevy Chase film?
It was a Chevy Chase.
Oh, and it was shit?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm fine. you can have my alternate Bond of Michael Douglas, if you want.
You have Chevy Chase.
I'm going for Chevy Chase. I was thinking just on the basis of Fletch, Chevy Chase would be good because...
Oh, yes.
He has all those disguises.
He does. And that's A View to a Kill, isn't it?
View to a Kill.
Diddle-diddle-ding.
Next week,
we will be doing the Timothy Dalton... The Dynamic Duo, shall we call them? There's only the two.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy Dalton's...
The Living Daylights.
Oh, yes.
The Living Daylights.
Oh. If you've liked this episode, please tune in next time.
You can also follow us on Twitter at Back to Bond Podcast and email backtobondpodcast@gmail.com.